Stoker batted the cleaving blade of the monster aside again, feeling the jarring impact rattle his very bones. Urgmesh grunted, showing his fangs. The beastman would rip the meat from this one's bones for making him work so hard to kill him. The writer's sword was notched and ruined, his strength was failing, and his movements slowing. He would not last much longer, but every second he denied the kill to Urgmesh was an insult to the brute. He felt the old man-hate, the fury of the Black Prince had taught him to quell, welling up within him once more. The beastman reared his head back and uttered a deep lowing roar. He recalled the howls of devotion to the dark gods he had uttered long ago at the sacred hearthstones of his kind. He saw a satisfying look of terror on the face of the frustrating little man, and knew that it was good that the man should know fear. It would make his flesh taste all the sweeter. It was the last thing Urgmesh saw. A heavy mass of steel and wood crashed against his head, smashing in the side of his skull, bashing his head against the stone wall, crumpling it as it impacted with the hard wall. The beastman sank to his knees, sliding down the wall, leaving a gory slick behind as he fell. Brunner took no chances, however. He lifted the blunderbuss over his head with both hands and brought it crashing down into the beastman's skull once more, snapping his neck. The bounty hunter looked away from the foul corpse and stared at the writer.
"Happy to come along now?"
the bounty hunter asked.
"Not quite like one of your stories, is it?"
Stoiker offered no reply, staring in horror at the skeletal thing that emerged from the corpse of the griffin. The writer pointed a trembling finger at the apparition. Brunner followed the extended finger, chuckling as he saw the source of Stoiker's terror.
"I think you can cease your conjuring now,"
the bounty hunter said. Almost at once, the skeletal thing disappeared. Where it had been, the corpse of the griffin still sat, unchanged from its moment of death.
"I do not believe I could have maintained that illusion much longer in any event,"
Malinbois gasped as he walked toward Brunner and Stoiker. His step was shaky, his limbs trembling with the effort to maintain enough strength to keep him on his feet. Sweat fell from the magician's pale face.
"You did well enough,"
the bounty hunter said, handing him the battered blunderbuss. Brunner turned, striding toward the doorway near the abandoned dais.
"Where are you going?"
the illusionist and the writer said almost simultaneously.
"After my money," the bounty hunter answered.
"But what if they come back?"
asked the frightened and outraged Malinbois.
"Threaten them with that,"
pointing at the blunderbuss.
But it isn't loaded,"
complained the magician.
"Convince them it is,"
commented the bounty hunter, striding into the shadowy corridor. The Black Prince stood in his throne room, crouched above the teakwood box. He burned with fury. He saw the shape of things now, saw how he had been betrayed and led to the edge of ruin and death by deception and trickery. But he would set matters right. He would get his revenge. The Dark Elf threw open the teakwood box, then stepped back. Empty! It was empty! A cold, lethal fury gripped the Black Prince as he looked at the cushioned vacancy in the chest. He was still staring at the empty box when, with an almost casual move, he intercepted a sword that sank through the air, whirling towards his neck, catching the blade on the spines on his vambrace. His armored face turned about. Cruel eyes stared at Joseph as the Black Prince closed the steel glove of his free hand about the blade of the stolen sword. The Black Prince tore the weapon from Joseph's fingers, casting it aside like a piece of garbage. Then he backhanded the boy with his other hand. Joseph landed in a jumble of limbs, his lips split and bleeding. The Black Prince rose from his crouch, hand almost casually falling upon the pommels of the twin swords sheathed at his side. I am not in a fair humor," the elf's melodious voice stated. "Curse whatever gods you hold dear, that you are the first to find me in such a mood." The elf drew one of the thorn-bladed swords from its sheath. Joseph spat blood from his lip at the monster's feet.
"You killed my father!"
the boy snarled. The elf stood immobile for a moment, as though taken aback by Joseph's outburst. Then the disarming sound of the fiend's laughter echoed throughout the chamber.
"And you are ungrateful enough to curse me for such a boon?"
The Black Prince shook his masked head.
"You should thank me for preserving you from the lies and machinations of your elder. Only with the passing of the father can a son truly become all that he is destined to become. Only then can he emerge from the shadow that hovers above him."
The elf laughed again, noting the enraged fire in Joseph's eyes.
"But this is something I myself did not learn until this very hour. And you are but vermin, and will find no value in the truth."
The Black Prince stepped toward Joseph, watching as the boy scrambled away, crawling before him like a mouse scurrying before a cat. The elf lifted his sword, preparing to stab the steel downward into Joseph's body.
"Face me if there is a drop of courage in your craven carcass!"
a soft yet thunderous voice called out. The Black Prince hesitated, then turned his body so that he might keep one eye on the vengeful youth and another trained upon the challenging voice.
"You shall atone for your misdeeds, monster!"
declared Litheline, stooping to retrieve his sword from where the dark elf had thrown it. The wood elf extended the blade, pointing it at the Black Prince. The dark elf bowed with mock graciousness, stepping toward Litheline.
"Ah, a more worthy adversary presents himself,"
the dark elf declared. The Black Prince held his sword against his side, drawing the second blade from its sheath, gripping it by the point where the blade and hilt met. Lifting the blade out to one side, the Black Prince made as if to discard the weapon. But just as he began to toss the weapon aside, he reversed his hold upon it, hurling it like a spear at a wood elf. The thorn-bladed sword nicked the edge of Litheline's leg, cutting through his leather breeches.
"So, you are one of those filthy tree-dwellers,"
the Black Prince stated as Litheline recovered from the unexpected injury. The wood elf swung at the gloating fiend, but the Black Prince's sword easily caught Litheline's blade and turned it back with a slight push.
"No Drushai would have fallen for so obvious a deception. But why should I expect cunning from one whose kind could not even outwit those disgusting dwarves?"
The Black Prince sneered, lashing out with his sword. He met Litheline's intercepting steel, twisted about it, and slashed the elf's shoulder.
"This would already be over if we fought in Naggaroth,"
the Black Prince's voice laughed.
"They duel with envenomed blades there."
The Black Prince struck out again, feinting high, then lunging forward, catching the arm that held Litheline's sword with his own free arm. He pulled the wood elf's body in close and slashed his belly with the fighting spines of his vambrace, while he dug the thorn-like projections of his sword's pommel into the wood elf's back. The dark elf released his foe, spinning about as he backed away to again intercept the wood elf's steel.
"But one must make concessions for savages," the Black Prince said. "Otherwise, there is no sport in butchering one of your kind."
The Black Prince lashed out again, Litheline's parrying the fiend's blow aside. Turning his body, the wood elf avoided the fighting spines of the dark elf's other arm. The wood elf smashed the hilt of his sword into the reflective visor of the enemy. The dark elf staggered back.
"You shall pay for every drop of blood you have spilled,"
the wood elf swore, attacking once again. The Black Prince intercepted the Avenger's sword, catching it between vambrace and sword.
"Shall I?"
the dark elf sneered.
Then I must have run up quite a debt.
The Black Prince surged upwards, throwing the wood elf aside. The dark elf's sword flickered toward Liffeline, barely intercepted as the fighter recovered.
But do you think that you shall be the one to collect it?
Liffeline spun his body about, sweeping the sword in a low arc. The Black Prince leapt above the striking blade, thrusting his own sword through the wood elf's breast. The Black Prince pushed his body forward, digging the steel deeper into Liffeline's chest. The wood elf gasped, fighting for breath, his eyes widening with rage and disbelief.
"This has been utterly boring,"
the Black Prince declared, his face only inches from the dying elf's face. He twisted the blade about in the wound, bringing a fresh spasm of agony to the gasping elf's features.
"There are people I must find and kill,"
the Black Prince stated. He tore the sword from Liffeline's body, and a great flood of blood bubbled from the triangular cut. Liffeline dropped, his fading eyes locked on the figure of the Black Prince.
"Don't worry. Your bones will feed the crows, and your memory will become a jest told to your children when I tire of making them scream."
The Black Prince stepped away, his foot sliding beneath the naked steel of the wood elf's sword. The dark elf worked his toe under the blade and flicked it across the chamber once more. The sword clattered across the floor to where a horrified Joseph had watched the swift, brutal fight. The boy reached toward the sword.
"I hope you are paying attention,"
the Black Prince's musical voice said as he strode away from Liffeline's corpse.
"I expect better from you."
The dark elf walked toward the boy, sword held at his side.
"Though I doubt that I shall receive it."
A roar and crack thundered through the Black Prince's throne room. The dread figure of the bandit lord shuddered as a red mist burst from his chest. The sword fell from suddenly lax fingers. A shaking hand rose to the wound that marked the very center of the Black Prince's chest. The mailed hands probed the aperture, coming away and rising before the reflective faceplate. The eyes behind the metal mask stared in wonder and disbelief at the crimson staining the metal fingers. The Black Prince turned, falling to his knees as the strength failed in his legs. With an effort, he looked up as his killer walked toward him.
"Sorry."
The icy voice of the bounty hunter reached the Black Prince's ears.
"I was getting bored myself."
Brunner returned the pistol to its holster and strode forward. The Black Prince coughed within his helm, red liquid seeping from the joints of his visor and gorget.
"And there are people waiting for me, and that ugly head of yours."
The Black Prince slumped forward, his death rattle gargling in his throat. Brunner watched the dark elf expire, then fingered the grip of the long-bladed knife he morbidly termed the headsman. Before beginning his macabre task, the bounty hunter looked up at Joseph.
"I could have let you have your chance at him,"
the bounty hunter said,
"but somehow I don't think you'd have liked that."
Joseph nodded his head, a surly look of guilt and anger mixing with profound satisfaction on his face.
"Now, come over here, and help me get this bastard's armor off,"
Brunner called out.
"I want to make a good cut. After all, it has to be pretty enough for a king."
Erhard Stoiker sat his battered body down in the chair, casting a furtive look around the bar of the inn. There was no sign of Yvette, however. The woman had been rather upset at him when he had returned to Paravan after leaving for weeks with no warning, and she had used more than words to express her ire. She had been most unwilling to listen to his explanations. Even the gold that he had brought back with him had done nothing to assuage her anger when she had discovered the bruises the writer had earned in his bright combat with the Beastman. Stoiker sighed and sipped his wine. his share of the Black Prince's booty had amounted to more than a few hundred gold pieces, a tidy fortune before the Duke's taxmen had decided what their portion should be. Perhaps he should have gone with Malinois and Joseph after all, and returned to the Empire. But no, there were too many reasons for him to stay as far from Altdorf as he could. He recalled only too well the old imperial proverb that all roads lead to the Emperor's city. Once again, Stoiker found himself lamenting the fortune that must have once been hidden within the Black Prince's vaults. But the fleeing brigands had had a considerable head start, and they had known where to search. The bandits had further benefited from the skills of the thief, Ferrex, who, having excused himself from the battle, had slunk down to the treasure rooms, disarming the many cunning devices set to protect them. All except the last one. Stoiker didn't think he had ever seen a more surprised look than the one on Ferrex's corpse, when they found him stuck to the wall by a spring-launched javelin. They had split what the bandits hadn't taken, at least he, Malinois, and Joseph had. Brunner had angrily stated that he worked for his money, and wanted no part of the plundering. Stoiker had thought the bounty hunter foolish, but, as it turned out, the price on the Black Prince's head had far exceeded what they could loot from the tower. After they had parted company with Malinois and Joseph, Stoiker had suggested to Brunner that he might split the bounty. The bounty hunter had laughed, responding that he never asked Stoiker for any portion of what he earned from the lies he wrote about the killer. Stoiker shook his head, wondering where the fearsome warrior was now. He cast an eye at the door of the inn. He laughed to himself and sipped at his wine. It did not matter where Brunner was. Sooner or later, the writer was certain, he would again walk through the door. Stoiker had never been more certain of anything his entire life. And strangely enough, he found himself eagerly anticipating that meeting, found himself wanting to hear about every treacherous, ruthless step of the bounty hunter's travels. A shape, shrouded in black, moved through the darkened chamber, disturbing the flies that buzzed about the headless corpse rotting on the floor. The shape did not pay the corpse a second thought, but moved toward the dais. It looked over at the smashed teakwood box, and smiled beneath its hood. Then it climbed the steps to the throne-like chair. A slender, pale hand caressed the armrest, sliding its fingers along the length of the wood until there was a click. The hand reached into the hinged opening of the seat, removing the silk-wrapped object within. The apparition's eyes glittered as they stared at the Eye of Char. The slender hands drew the gem back to the cloaked body, and the magical scrying stone disappeared in one of the pouches on the figure's belt. The shadow turned away from the throne, stopping this time beside the headless corpse. The black garbed shape bent down and lifted the discarded helmet from the floor. The face under the helmet smiled as it considered the helm. It almost dropped a piece of armor, but a stray thought caused it to tuck the helmet with its reflective visor beneath its arm. All had unfolded, just as the Eye of Char had shown him. News of Dralaif's death would reach Nagaroth. There would be no more assassins, for he knew that one day one of their number would succeed, and all his plans would come to ruin. He had sacrificed much to accomplish this deception, but gold was trash, easily collected by one of his skill and intelligence. His followers were likewise trash, and easily replaced. He cast another look at the headless corpse of Eurythan. It was not the first time he had cause to allow one of his lieutenants to momentarily assume his guise as the Black Prince. But it would certainly be the last. It was no matter. The two departed elves were nothing more but mongrel half-breeds. No true Drushai would ever have allowed themselves to be so easily deceived. In death, his sons had proven how pathetic and unworthy of his blood they truly were. Dralaif spat on the floor, a gesture denoting the contempt he felt for the spirits of such worthless beings. Only one thing disturbed him. It was the thought that somewhere a miserable human was walking the earth, boasting that he had killed the Black Prince. Indeed, he very nearly had. The Dark Elf had nearly fallen to his death when his horse had toppled over the precipice, and it had taken him several hours to climb up from the chasm. It alarmed him somewhat that the eye had not shown him that particular event. Once more, Dralaif pondered the Norse shaman's laughter. A most vexing thought, the Dark Elf mused, as he left his throne room for the last time and walked the empty halls of the abandoned Elf Tower. It was an itch that would have to be scratched one day.